horrible song leader, so. All right, if you take your Bibles to Jonah, we have another question this evening. It's actually Esther that asked it, and they weren't able to be here tonight, it looks like, so that's kind of too bad. I would have skipped it for another evening, but I didn't have anything else prepared, so we're going to look at this anyway. In Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3 through 10. But Jonah rose up to flee at Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you know all things and you are in control of all things. Thank you for your word this evening. Pray that you would bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The question we have is, why did casting lots work to show them who did wrong? That's a good question. It's a very good question. and one that, as I mentioned last week, is one of the things that I enjoy answering, where this topic goes. So the question, let's look back at verse 7, and they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So they cast lots with a very specific reason, didn't they? They're going to die. Nothing else is helping. And somebody has to be the fault. And what do you know? The lot falls on Jonah. And Jonah is the cause. They ask him, what have you done? And he gave them a very specific reason, and they knew instantly that you anger the God of the Hebrews, and there's problems there. and they were afraid because of this. They were more afraid after knowing who they had amongst them and that the storm really did have a good reason than they were before. So it is a good question. Why did casting lots work to tell them whose fault it was? Well, the short answer is this is proof that God's hand is in everything, that God does control everything. It's not just chance that happened on the ship that day. God directed those lots. Let's look at a few references that show us exactly this. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. Colossians 1:17 says, And he, that is Christ, as the Creator, as the image of the invisible God, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By him all things consist. Paul, if you'll remember, when he was in Athens, he said, you guys have a saying that there's this God, and in this God you move, you breathe, and you have your being. He says, I'm going to tell you who that God is. And he proceeded to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very true. In him, we live, we move, we have our being, we exist. There's many verses that tell us God's in control of every breath that we take. God's in control of everything that we come across. And so when Jonah was there on that boat, and we just saw God brought that storm, and God was trying to get Jonah's attention, so it's nothing for an almighty God to control the outcome of a set of lots. Now, the Bible also has this very specifically. If you go back into Proverbs chapter 16. Esther, we're looking at your question this evening on Jonah. It's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. The answer, the short answer, as I said just a minute before you guys walked in, is it is proof that God's hand is in everything. That he has power over all things, and he is concerned about every little thing that goes on in the entire world. If you go to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 33, look at this. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole dispersing thereof is of the Lord. Think about that. Here, it's being stated very specifically in the Bible, so God is saying it. When you cast a lot, the whole dispersing of it is of the Lord. That means, you know, we rarely think about God being involved so intricately in our life, but, you know, that means when you're playing a board game, the person who wins the board game, God had a hand in that. You say, well, what does God want to do with my board games? God's concerned about every area of your life. No matter how meaningless you think it might be, the fact that you are alive and breathing, God is concerned with that. God has that much care for you. And he said, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Proverbs 18 and verse 18 says, the lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. So here is almost a directive to use it to fix an argument. And we might not cast lots necessarily today, but how many times have you flipped a coin to see who gets something or who's going to do something? Well, what you did was cast lots. Now, I can do my illustration now. I've got enough kids here. I wasn't going to do it because we were shy, a few people. But I need some help. I need 9 kids up here. And I also need a hat or a bowl because I forgot to bring one. And I need a quarter because I forgot to bring one. We got some kind of container. The bag will work. Yep. All right. So I need 9 volunteers. Who wants to come up here? Okay. 2 of you. And Rosie, and you two. Let's see how many I've got here. Esther and Mac. Just a sec. You guys come up here. You had your hand up as well? Come on up. I got 6. I got Russell and Joshua, you can come up here. Yep, you can come up here. And how many have I got now? I've got nine? Perfect. Okay, I need everybody's names. So we got... Oh, thank you. Get the quarter right here. We've got to put that in the box. So Russell, go stand on this side of me. I'm just making sure I get everybody's name in the box here. And what was, Stephen, right. Got a good memory. It's just short. And that's, so come on this side. So I keep track of everybody got in the box. Okay, Mac, go on that side. What's your name?
Friar Rose.
Friar Rose. All right. And what's your name, buddy?
Josiah.
All right, move to the other side. All right, and Rosie. Yeah, I knew that. Just giving you a hard time. And and then we have Joshua. And then we have Esther. And your name?
Ivy.
Ivy. All right, did I get everybody? Okie dokie. So, I'm going to show you the most familiar ways we have of casting lots today. And you know how this works? Put everybody's name in a box or a hat, and you reach in there, and I'm going to get Mac to do it. Pull one out. Don't look. Just pull one out. All right. What happens? Stephen, you get to go sit down.
Wait a sec. You did that double-sided.
Well, that's the right one. Honestly. That I started to write
well,
down...
what about Esther?
But, see. I wrote that down earlier. You get to go sit down. And that, anyway, I messed myself up there. I double-sided a couple of them. I can tell when I wrote it by where it's at on the paper. Okay, so that's one way that we are familiar of with casting lots. And we've all done that or are familiar with somebody who has. So it's still a fairly common thing to do today. Now, common back in their day, it doesn't say which way they used. And it's actually not recorded anywhere in history what way the Israelites did. But a couple European ways, you get twigs. Now, I know these aren't twigs, but I had to write names on some of them, using them to do more than one. So you get twigs, and you'd put a mark for each person on a twig. And you would drop them like that, and it didn't really work because they're not twigs. But the idea was, whichever one landed on top, they were it. Rosie, go sit down. And then there's another common way, same idea. They would take them and they'd drop them. And they'd close their eyes, similar to drawing a hat, and they'd pick up three. And that would be Ivy, go sit down. And Esther, go sit down. And Josiah, go sit down. And then we have four left. And... I'm sorry, Tiffany, but this part of the illustration. So, you guys know how to play rock, paper, scissors? Okay. So, you go like this. Rock, paper, scissors. And this is rock. This is paper. This is scissors. Okay? And so you two do rock, paper, scissors, and you two do rock, paper, scissors. You rock, paper, scissors, and you pick. You when you say scissors, you either go rock or paper or scissors. Okay? So ready, set, rock, paper, scissors. Oh, you both did scissors. So you guys got to do it again. Your scissors cut her paper, so you got to go sit down. You guys got to do it again. Rock, paper, scissors. Scissors again. You guys got to pick something different. Do either rock or paper or scissors.
Okay? You got those two backwards. You said paper.
Good call.
Scissors.
Just seeing if you're awake. One more time. It's okay, Russell. When scissors are set, you either go rock, paper, scissors, and it's a rock. Rock, paper, scissors. Or rock, paper, scissors. Okay? So you got to pick whether your hand's going to be a rock or scissors or paper. I know you haven't done this before. It's fine. You just got to do it for me real quick. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors. Ooh, and his paper covers your rock, so you get to go sit down. So now we're down to two. Now, you know how this works? Heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay. And we got tails. Who was tails? You were?
Uh-huh.
You got to go sit down. So, by casting of lots, he's our grand champion. Go sit down. Thanks. So, all that just to say, you know, we might not... Oh, and I totally skipped drawing the short straw. My math was wrong. I was going to do a process of elimination. I should have had 10 kids up here. You all know about drawing a short straw too, right? You get all these pieces. That was one of the reasons for the paper. I was going to make one of them short. Anyway, you know how that works too. So there are all different versions of casting lots. Basically, it's a... it's an even playing field way to decide this person is it or out, one way or the other. Excuse me. So that's basically what they did. One of those forms there on the boat, or something similar to it. There's one where they used sheep knuckles. And they took the knuckle bones of, you know, out of a sheep's knee, and there was different markings on it, and you carried a bag around. I don't know why you would, but anyway, you carried a bag of these around. If you ever needed to cast lots, you got out your sheep knuckles and you threw them. It kind of like the act of throwing them was similar to dice, but again, it was like the twigs, how they fell, whoever was on top. Sheep knuckles, whatever mark was showing. So there's different ones. But what I want you to know is the Bible clearly states not only is God in control of everything, he's also in control of such a little thing as making a choice by lot. Psalm 115 and verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. You see, God's going to make things work the way he wants them to work, isn't he? Romans tells us that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Right? You know that verse, kids? Well, if you don't believe that God can control the little instances in your life, then you don't really know how to fully believe that verse. You have to believe that God is able to work in every area of your life. And so, again, this instance with Jonah, the question, why did that work out? It's a good question to ask. So that we can stop and think, yes, God has that much control, and he can use it however he wants. In the Bible, you will find casting lots mentioned 70 times in the Old Testament and 7 times in the New Testament. And God does condone it. Now, not saying it's the end-all be-all for making choices. That's not the way it is in the Bible. But he does tell different people to use it at different times. In the law, the lots were actually used to define God's will in certain areas. God told them to do that. In the sacrifices, they would bring in 2 goats for the offering for the nation, and the priests would cast lots between the 2 goats, which one would be the sacrifice and which one would be the scapegoat. the scapegoat and the one that would be what did they call the one they let loose in the wilderness? That was the scapegoat? Okay, I got that screwed up. Anyway, so again, God told them to use lots to pick which one was which. Also in Proverbs 19 and verse 21, we see the Bible says here, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Now, this is where we begin to look at it with some caution. Because we could take this and say, well, God says to use lots. And there's so many instances of the Bible where something good happened or something necessary happened because they used lots. So that means, since I'm a Christian and I love God and God loves me and He takes care of me, I can go out and start playing games of chance and I'm going to win. I can go buy a lottery ticket and I'm going to win the big one. I can go gambling and it's not really a problem because God says you can cast lots. Can we do that? No, because that breaks other principles in the Bible. And here in Proverbs 19:21 it says, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." You see, when we go and we start using some form of casting lots for gambling or something along those lines, it's the device of our heart, isn't it? It's something that we're doing because we want some money. We want to consume it on our lust. Excuse me. As James 4 and verse 3 says, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your lust." Something that you say, well, God, I know that God does things this way, so if I do this much, then He'll do this for me. It's not how it works. We can't, we're not asking God to just do things our way. And if you want to use Jonah there, it wasn't Jonah's idea to cast lots, by the way. I think Jonah would have been one that would have said, let's try something different. Let's just say it's the captain's fault for choosing this course. Because, see, Jonah knew God. And I believe Jonah had enough faith that you look at the glimpse of Jonah's life before this time, he was a faithful prophet of God. I believe Jonah knew enough about God that if you leave something to quote-unquote chance when God's involved, it won't be chance, will it? And that's the real answer there. going back to, we cannot misuse this fact. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7, where the devil is tempting Jesus, and Jesus quotes the law, and says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." If we're doing something, if we're bringing something before God that we really know in the Bible it says we probably shouldn't be doing anyway, so we already understand God's will, even if it's in some deep dark corner of our heart, and we say, "Well, God, I know you really don't want me to do this, but I'm going to flip a coin, and if it's heads, I'm going to do it anyway. You're tempting God. That's what you've taken lots, and you've turned it around to tempt God rather than to ask Him for His help honestly. Now, there's another side of God controlling even such a thing as lots. If you turn to Isaiah 41 and verse 11, Isaiah 41 and verse 11, this isn't specifically about lots, but the Bible does tell us that God can use somebody's attempt at evil and turn it around against them, or turn it to send them down a path further away from Him. Isaiah 41 and verse 11 says, "Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded." That's confused. "They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." Now, this passage is all about having comfort because of God's greatness, because God is in control. And kids, there's a lot of things out there that use some version of casting lots where they're looking for direction in their lives, but they want it any way except from God. And as it says here, "they that strive with thee." That's what they're doing. They're arguing with God. They're saying, "I want direction in my life. I want some kind of fulfillment, but I don't want it to have anything to do with God. And so I'm going to try fortune telling. Or I'm going to try whatever else." And God can use that. And He can give them an answer that will, as it says here, it'll confuse them. And it'll send them to destruction. You say, "Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish. Why would He send somebody to destruction?" Look at the context here. It says, because they strive with Him. They're fighting with God. He doesn't want them to perish. But if they're going to fight with God, who's going to win? One of you kids, answer me this. If somebody's going to fight with God, who's going to win?
God.
So you fight with, let's say, you kids probably don't know what tarot cards are, and if you don't, that's good. Don't ever try to learn them. But that's one of the devil's ways of casting lots, okay? And people who mess with that, they're using a form of this to fight with God. They don't want anything to do with God, but they want to know what they should do with their life. And God can use that. You know, you adults that know something, you got to give me a little bit of space here and understand what I'm saying. God can use those to further somebody's destruction. That's what it says right here. We look back at Proverbs. It says, "The lot's cast in the lap, and the whole disposing, whether for good or for evil, is of the Lord." God can use those and further confound somebody, further confuse them, further send them along the way that they've chosen because they have denied Him. The warning there, kids, you want direction for your life? You follow God. Don't strive against Him. Even in the Corinthian church, you see that Paul said some slept. Some died basically early. They might have had a longer life if they would have continued to obey God. If they would have continued to serve Him. But they thought, "No, we're saved, we're Christian, now we can play around with sin and do our own thing because, hey, we're going to heaven." And God said, "No, you can't do that. You're my child, you wear my name. You serve me." So, That brings us to a question for us today. Can we ever use lots in a good way? Can we flip a coin in a good way? Can we draw straws in a good way? Or is it all bad? Is it all just an Old Testament thing? Well, I don't think a little game like we played here a few minutes ago is bad. I don't think picking who's going to wash dishes by drawing straws, that's just a very simple form of casting lots. There's nothing wrong with it. Can you ever use them to discern a spiritual matter? If God is really in control of even casting lots, can you discern them to... We can't use them to discern spiritual matter. The first answer is, does the Bible already have the answer for you? Does the Bible already have the answer for you? A lot of times it does. You see, in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, they didn't have the completed Word of God yet, did they? They had the further along... the more they had. But anybody you read about within these pages, the fact that they're in these pages, they didn't have the completed Word of God. But you and I do. A lot of times when we've got a question about faith or about where we're going to go in life or what we're supposed to do in a certain matter, a lot of times the answer is already right here. We just need to study it out. But there are times where, let's say there's a matter of God's will, and it really looks like both options are basically, you know, they've got the same amount of good or bad going for both of them. What do I do? I'm not saying you should necessarily do this, but if you really believe that God controls every little part of your life, and as the Bible says, casting lots is in His hand. Even this is in His hand. Praying and saying, Lord, would You direct me one way or another? Heads to the right, tails to the left, and flip the coin, and okay, we're going right. That's not necessarily wrong either. If you're doing it in faith, asking God, and you don't have a clear answer already in Scripture. Now, Gideon is an example of this. Of course, he did have a clear command from God, but he was doubting, wasn't he? And he says, God, can everything be wet and the fleece dry? He gave God a coin flip there. And guess what? Everything was wet and the fleece was dry. He says, well, maybe it was by chance. Poor guy didn't have quite enough faith there. He says, can everything be dry and the fleece wet? And the fleece was so wet, he wrung out a whole bowl of water. So, what I'm saying is, if you really don't know something, you've looked and you don't quite have the answer, if you're asking God in faith, honestly believing that He can direct your life, then it can be used that way. It can't. But don't make it a common practice, because if you make it a common practice, you'll start trying to do that instead of reading your Bible, instead of studying, instead of learning what God's overall will for your life is. So, that's kind of a overall look at this, of the subject. And again, the short answer is, why did God use it specifically in that time? Because He has control. And He was trying to get Jonah to go somewhere, wasn't He? Tarshish was this way. This is Spain, if you remember right. And Nineveh was this way from about where they were going. God says, I want you going this way. It wasn't Jonah that cast the lots, it was the sailors. And God said, oh, let's just say it was whoever's twig was on top. Jonah's twig? Boop. Go ask him why this is happening. Because God has that much control of our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you do have control. Lord, even while you give us free will to do as we please, you do put things along our way to call us to yourself and to turn us back into your way if we're stepped aside. Ask that each one of the kids, as they grow older, would learn a full reliance on your hand in their lives. I ask for us as adults to have greater faith by your help, to rely on you in our decisions, in our the path of our life, and in our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.